Welcome, friends and adventurers, to another episode of Dungeons and Blackguards. I am the Dungeon Master, Robulon. Joining me, in no particular order, are the players and their level 6 characters. Brandon.
I'm Ekaruk Poonslay, Half-Orc Bloodhunter, level 6, aka Dark Lord.
Caleb.
I'm Kaito Itata,
level 6 Barbarian.
I'm a Construct.
I'm here at a party.
Tomo.
Hey, I'm Steve Tedman. I am a level 5 Gloomstalker Ranger, level 1 Rogue, and I have a Magic Owl.
Multi-classer.
Fancy.
Brayden.
I'm Brayden. I am playing Beleg Dagar, level 6 Half-Elf Warlock.
I'm feeling pretty somber after almost dying the other day.
That's true. Rook, how are you feeling?
Messed up. Trying to sort it all out.
Well, good thing we showed up.
I am very thankful that you guys showed up. I'll be all right.
Did you see what Kaitoa is doing anyways? Is he like this when you came down too?
No. There was a messenger that came and wanted in, but I didn't open the door.
A messenger?
Yeah. And then since I wouldn't open it and I was just yelling at him through the door, he left, and Kaitoa suggested putting in a peephole and then he was going to open up the door, and then he powered down and he's been standing like that for probably a good half an hour.
Having dreams?
Yeah.
Very good.
And speaking of which, where is Nafri?
He's gone.
Oh yeah, you didn't, keep forgetting you didn't fight his fiend that he sent us.
No, I did not. But he's gone?
Yeah, he's probably tougher than we initially thought he was. He's going to be a bit of trouble in the future. I'm sure he'll be a boss fight at some point.
But half his face is gone.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Our Nafri looks more like Nafri than Nafri does. Yeah, if we're going to keep up the ploy.
Are you guys worried? Should we be trying to find him, or should we...
I don't know if he's going to show his face, to be honest, but...
I still say we should have slit his throat.
Probably.
In hindsight, that's looking like a big... Yeah.
Well, I think if we're going to do the crossed axes, I think it's going to be a pretty quick stop, so let's...
trade all this regular shit. Yeah.
I mean, with our frozen robot, we've got a lot of time to do housekeeping, so we might as well.
Yeah. I'm going to go to the kitchen where we moved him.
Sorry, Kaitoa all of a sudden had a brief shutdown.
Oh, we noticed.
Hey, what's with the stone?
The stone belongs to my quest, or where I need to be. And this is a homing beacon for what I need to do, my purpose.
Is that what we're going to do next? Are we going to stay here? I think I'm ready to take a leave of this city.
Well, yeah, either we solve the whole Nafri issue.
We should probably finish up this Nafri situation.
Yeah.
So where are we going?
I'm just trying to figure out what we want to stick around.
Yeah.
Fuck. I'm curious about the army of Iz.
They got fucked on the way, didn't they?
But I'd like to go fuck up Iz.
I could crush something with an axe right now.
You're gonna go save the day and...
I definitely could do some axe crushing and saving.
We can go down to Iz and solve this problem before they're out of a week's worth of provisions.
Yeah.
Then we've got 400 people back here, and everything is good as right as rain.
Yeah.
Defending the town, right?
Yeah. In the meantime, just a call to arms, and I guess we gotta... you gotta make a speech, pretty much. Like, this is what we're gonna do.
Yeah.
Hello! I'm not even supposed to be here today. It's Dante. Now I can hear you through the door. Now I can hear you.
I throw open the door, grab him, and pull him inside.
Oh, God! Hi, everybody. Oh, all the important people. Ooh, I have been looking all over. Mayor Gently's into the bottle, already out of control. Where's Nafri? I see the new quartermaster there. Hello, half-orc. Look, I need to know if you have heard about the mysterious exit from the city yesterday.
What exit?
A strange little ship with lots of little oars paddling northwards, and then a very, very strange account. Differing accounts. Sounds sorcery.
What?
Hey, that sort of ugly fellow there. You with the close-cropped hair, sort of balding there. Ugly human.
What?
Yeah. You also seem to have a bit of a soldiery background. You and the Construct would get along with Sergeant Sandred. He's a good man, you know, guys, and I wish we had news of him, but look, that's not a bad suggestion you guys are saying. You know, they're only 1 league away. They're only 1 day's march away. They were only dispatched yesterday, so could they be turned around? Yes, well, I suppose.
We send the Raven?
Yes?
Bring us horses. Can you do that?
We have the aviary, Master Poonsley, with Raven messengers. We have the stables, Master... What is your role in this party? I don't recognize you.
Oh, I come in and out occasionally.
He's a consultant.
Oh, brought in. Yes, okay. Name?
Alain Vigneault.
Okay. Alain, very well then. Is this what we're saying, my lords?
Bring us your 4 fastest horses and a raven.
Done.
We'll take care of the rest.
And finally, what shall we do with the mayor and his ramblings and his searching for vintage Nafri?
Just keep him drunk.
Yeah, keep him drunk. Give him a fucking microphone.
Yes.
Just let him run wild.
Oh, so sorry then, have him hold court today?
Sure.
Sounds like fun. Okay, yeah, alright. I like you guys. Alright, maybe I am supposed to be here today. I have what I need. I'm going. Marching orders. Messengers need that. Alright.
Do you have any idea on his agenda?
I'm out of here, guys. Fuck off.
Whose agenda?
The mayor's. Yeah.
Girlfriend blew me
the mayor
too.
Is the mayor is a fucking blubbery idiot.
Kaitoa,
the agenda.
You would have to roll persuasion to keep Dante from leaving. He is so thrilled to be leaving.
Dick.
And the DC goes up as nobody stops Dante. And there you go. He has now left past Matthias and Tobias. Who are, you know, awaiting whether you're still going on to visit the wizard and spear this morning. But yeah, you guys have just requisitioned the fastest horses from Hugel Castle's stable. The Raven messenger will be sent as well.
Sweet.
That roll was a 12, though, for persuasion.
Yeah, well, no, that's perfect. It rose from about 10 to 15 as you stalled.
Yeah.
So, Kaitoa, as you in vain, you know, kind of look out the front door, you do see people appearing. It is a blue-cloaked figure, and beside him, a shorter figure in a white cloak.
I step out and close the door.
Can we look out there?
Party, you now just have Shorva and Porco, your employees, and they are busy. They have unwrapped some of these parcels they have brought in, and yeah, it seems like, guys, they're setting up some quite advanced machinery in the kitchen. Not a lot of food in here. They are occupied, and you 4 stand there as the 11 o'clock bell, this large bell that comes from inside the temple quarter, chimes.
What? Do we hear... Well, we've been here for multiple days. Do we hear this bell every single day?
Yes, this bell accentuates, you know, the rhythms throughout the day in Polb. And Polb is quite a modern city in some ways. There is that sundial in the center, so they seem to keep time along quite a frequent basis, whereas in some realms in Beheru, actually, they still just go by the quarters of the day. I mean, there are essentially four quarters to the day, and you don't really worry about larger increments of time in between. But most cities that have a bell tower would likely chime on the hour. So you're familiar with this, Beleg, and you've just seen Kaitoa come in and shut the door.
So it's what, 10 now? 11?
11 a.m.
11?
And sun now streaming in and lighting the inside of the foyer here. The White Chain is quite a beautiful establishment now that the old horrifically eldritch Hunger of Hadar stained carpets have been removed. Now that the tables have been set out and undraped and the chairs set out, you guys, if there was patrons and if there was a full kitchen and staff, this place would be hopping. Maybe bopping.
So we have the... Do we have the horses? As soon as we get the horses, we should just start riding to Iz and send a raven to them saying to wait for our arrival.
Yep.
Wait for the heroes.
So you guys are now waiting. Shorva hears you ask aloud, Beleg, how long are these horses going to take? And she... starts to look up and say,
oh, well, it's not very far from the castle. More and more knocking on the doors. You know, master, there's... Hey, you know, this freaking me out a little bit, all the changing of face. The only thing consistent about you is the spider tattoo. It's the only way I know it's you.
Do you like it?
You gotta tell.
Oh, yeah, I got a spider tattoo. Yeah. And I'm sorry, Shorva, and I'll snap my fingers and turn to Beleg.
Oh, a bit more familiar. Yes, I remember. Where's that little blonde dwarf from the first time? He's sort of cute. He looks a bit like my husband. Hey, Bork.
When you guys get bored and need some role-playing, you let me know and I'll show up as the blonde dwarf.
Oh, well, that might be a little freaky. I'm not into the kinky stuff. Boo.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, there's knocking again.
And sure enough, guys, there is rapping on the door.
Who is it?
I told you this place is a sham.
And you hear grumbling.
Who is that? Is that ma'am?
Someone, ma'am, you owe me a copper. Hello, we're here for brunch.
Is that Leah and ma'am?
Yes, are you daft? Hello?
Beleg snaps his fingers and gives his muscles more definition.
I look at Beleg, I'm like, ready? And I prepare to open the door.
Flex my tricep. Yeah.
All right, Kaitoa, you'd be the closest to the door as you have been. Yeah, the voices, I mean, it's the familiar voices from yesterday. It appears to be the wizard Mem and his assistant, Leah.
And I open the door.
Hello.
And welcome. Oh.
Hello, it's very light in here. Oh, sorry. Hello. Isn't that how you said it, where you were from, Mr. Kaitoa?
Hello.
Oh, well then, yes, greetings.
Well, Leah, this is bullshit. Look, there's no... No, we're leaving.
And Mem starts to turn around. I'm hungry.
I shut the door behind them. And say, have a seat.
Oh, we've been captured. Let's put them all to sleep, Leah, like we did before. I'm just messing with you, but I did put you to sleep before, at least two of you.
Yeah, we remember.
This is a new mem.
Oh, grumble. Look, I've had my two shots of that special grain grass there, and I'm pretty amicable in the morning when told that I'm going to a nice famous establishment open for the first time. It looks like it's not open at all. I was hoping to meet your partners there, the dwarf and the gnome.
Don't you know, Germ?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to have a little brunch meeting with everybody. They slipped out the exact same time your first two partners did. And then everybody seemed to leave.
And Steve, as he says everybody, he shoots you a bit of a knowing wink.
Can I roll perception to see if I see the knowing wink?
Oh, certainly.
It's not going to go well.
I think I'd give you advantage on the roll because you would be, yeah, you'd be right there.
Number one is a 6.
That's classic, Bellic.
Number 2 is a 7.
Bellic, you are distracted by the young half-elf. Yeah, maybe sorceress. I mean, you've seen this person certainly conduct some sort of instant healing, and you are distracted, and you did not notice Mem kind of finishing his thought about how you guys all left last night.
Oh, but yes, no, I was simply calling to, you know, reconvene. There's unanswered questions, mostly about that snake Nafri.
Well, ma'am, we've decided to head out for Iz immediately. What do you think of that?
What?
At the same time, there is the clopping and the galloping of horses. 4 magnificent stallions are coming down through the square, beating a path through some of the revelers in front of the Temple of Dan, and they are led by Dante, and also it looks like a dwarven female in like blue armor, and she's carrying one of those runic or letter P shaped castle shields from Hugill Castle. And Mem turns around, and Leah turns around, and Beleg and Steve and Kaitoa, you would notice now that Rook has slumped over as he was, you know, attempting to steady himself against the bar and going back to his empty pine glass. It looks like he has slumped over.
Oh, shit.
Well, we lost Rook.
That was abrupt.
All right. Let's throw him on a horse and get out of here.
Lift him up on a sleeping body on a horse and back to sleep.
Hey, Mem or Leah, do you want to come to Iz? You can ride on a horse with Rook so he doesn't die.
But excuse me, but I thought we were getting some sort of modern egg concoction, a delicious exotic brunch. What is this ride with us to battle? Grumble, grumble.
Mem, simmer down. Like, simmer down. And tell me this. Your friend over there, is that some of his guts still pouring out?
Possibly.
They tend to do that.
As wonderful as a long rest is, it's awfully hard to explain, you know, how grievous wounds get healed. And it seems like Leah is now dashing over to Rook.
This man cannot ride. Mem, look at this.
And she's pointing to sort of gash still.
Mem, look at this.
And yeah, there's a horrible purple infection. There seems to be now a time delay dice. And I would like you guys all to roll either a percentile dice or some combination, you know, of a couple D10s, and give me your percentage. And I'm going to tell you a time by which you will have a ready-to-ride Rook.
68.
I roll a 40.
33.
And sorry, did I say rook? I meant rook and beleg.
Oh?
Who looks down at his broken leg, recalling that yesterday also included a 30-foot fall. Leah now comes over to you, Beleg. This party here is in a little bit of shambles. I think you might need to spend at least 3 hours here, and I can get a couple more of those healing potions for you as well. You know, if I just wait until the 1 o'clock ferry from Lantern, I get a new shipment of those healing potions.
Well, that works.
Is that not a pretty fucking good idea? Look, you, half-orc. Oh, is he not moving? Why is he not moving?
He does that from time to time.
He's a sleeper. Narcolorxy.
Grumble, grumble, grumble. I'm out of here. I'll be back in 3 hours when the potions arrive off the ferry. And do tell me when you open for brunch proper.
Few more weeks. Yep.
Mem has officially left the building. Leah has propositioned that she spends sort of at least an hour and a half or so tending to Rook, who does actually seem to be now actually... Oh, shit! This gray-purple half-orc is unconscious. And also... asked to spend some time, Beleg, on your leg, which has not set properly.
You can re-break it and set it. I'm tough.
Yes, well, you look very tough. You know, I'm quite a good and observant person. It seems like... I'm not so sure. It seems like you're just, like, about 15% more muscular than yesterday. Whatever. Surely you wouldn't be using disguised self in a frivolous way. Oh, mercy me. Ooh, I blush.
All for you, babe.
Yes, I see. Okay,
like
guys.
The bonds of D&D.
The 3 hours now goes by, and you have been restored to full fighting capability. There are 4 steeds. You also just get a final visit from the wizard Mem. Leah has left. She seems drained by whatever healing arts she has performed there. And he meets you guys.
Well, look at this. What have we here? Lantern potions of greater healing. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. That's not bad. And there you go, in a satchel.
Oh, 10.
On the house.
Nice. Who gets those? We split them up.
Yeah.
Rook is unmoving, but the moment that the healing potions are sort of, you know, presented to the party, it's like he is, all of a sudden he's a bit alert, and he's slumped over on his stallion there, and now you guys are essentially in the centermost part of your square, you know, preparing ostensibly for what?
A trip in a battle.
Yeah, riding.
We ride!
Then as you see the sun now, because it is, what would that be, 1 o'clock, 1 p.m., the sun now high in the sky, and it's just gorgeous, Jebuary 9th, you see the small crowd dissipating around the Temple of Dan, because, I mean, the morning revelers, that's when the bulk of them are there. And as you do see the crowd disperse, there's, looks like one figure, or is it 2 figures, small, left there in the middle of the square.
What kind of figures?
Are they humanoid?
Wow.
Welcome, friends and adventurers, to The Break. DM Robulon here. Today, we are very excited to announce a special promo code with friends of the show, Dragon Burn Designs. You may recall we kicked off our third season of the podcast with our biggest giveaway yet, featuring a custom laser-engraved Nat 20 spell tome with advantage by none other than Dragon Burn Designs. This was the classic, original, disguised dice box that created the dice book genre. These finely crafted book boxes, towers, dice trays, journals, and accessories are truly stunning. I could go on in great detail about the quality craftsmanship and care that clearly goes into each item. I could talk about all the customizable options and fine materials available, but there really is no substitute for you going to the website DragonBurnDesigns.com. Once you're there, fall in love with a box or an accessory for yourself or a fellow gamer. Then go to the checkout, hit purchase, and never look back. You will not be disappointed. Whatever item you choose, this will be a centerpiece of your gaming setup. Furthermore, at the time of your purchase, enter the code BLAGGARDSFAN. That's BLAGGARDSFAN, all caps. This will apply a 10% discount off the entire order. Again, please check out DragonBurnDesigns.com. They are at Nat20Dicebox on Twitter, and we Blackguards are honored to be counted among their friends. Remember, enter BlackguardsFan at the checkout and receive 10% off your entire order. And now, we return to Season 3, Episode 15 of Dungeons and Blackguards.
There's, looks like one figure, or is it two figures, small, left there in the middle of the square.
What kind of figures?
Are they humanoid?
Aye, righty-tighty, lefty-loosey.
Squeak, 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 it's me and the little gnome boys,
Hey, Graham.
You didn't think we would let you go.
What's going on here, boys? Where do you ride?
Is.
You four?
Yep. Or more, if you want to come.
Oh, it looks like 3.5. Rook doesn't look great there, but he never does. He always looks like a bit of the eel in my boot, bit of a piece of shit in terms of the appearance. but now, tell me then. Is this based on the note that we got from Sergeant Sandrid sent to Dorophil, the little pigeon that said they were under attack?
Yep. Yes.
Right. All right. I think you guys might need a little bit of backup.
We'll take it.
Why?
What could 400 men have trouble with?
I listen to the little gnome. And me, we have a little bit of experience when it comes to fire on the underground.
Better English, Garfield.
Why are you laughing?
Garfield had a stroke.
why not speak common?
You barely speak common.
Mickey, tell them a long range.
Are you just charging in? Are you not afraid of the long range of these no? Look, your ranger boy's got one of them no longbows right there, doesn't he? Here, look at this thing. And he produces his very strange crossbow. Oi, Kaitoa,
Grab this! And Kaitoa, he throws you his crossbow.
Hey, catch it?
Alright, can you make a dexterity, make sure you don't crush it, I guess?
A 12.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, you catch it pretty deftly. Oi, shoot that thing! Just slam on that trigger!
No.
Go ahead, fire it into the cobblestones.
I'll aim for a piece of wood.
Yeah, sure, there's like a wagon wheel or a cart near the edge of the plaza or the square here.
Yeah. Shoot it at that.
Kaitoa, you feel this thing like shoot out. There appears to be like a small escaping of air, and yeah, with no bow action at all, a dart just flies out of this thing, you know, approximately 90 feet into the wall somewhere. That's what I mean. A little bit of range might help. So, I'll tell you what, my friends. Are we leaving the city unprotected? Are we making our way to Iz by horse? Or are we simply going to see if Sandrid and the men live?
Horse.
Yeah, I would think we're doing a bit of an espionage mission.
Mickey and Dorophil here are, let's say, offering to join. Do you take them with you, or leave them behind?
I like having Gurm with us.
Yeah, a party, I would take them with me.
I haven't seen Dorophil do anything yet, but I bet when he does, it's going to be fucking sweet.
Yeah.
For strategy, yeah, we definitely should bring these guys with us.
All right, then. I will have my weapon back then, Mr. Kaitoa. I think that it's going to serve me mighty well.
Oh, what I brought here, boys. My war pick.
And he unveils, it's like under his blanket, this huge long bulge that you guys have always been laughing at and making fun of, how he's got this side pipe and this. He has had a fucking mean looking war pick under the, and you do see the stumps of his legs. I mean, you know, the dude's got no legs, but this war pick is absolutely ferocious.
I've ditched my chair and send her another steed. I ride. Dorophil's dragoons rides again.
Dorophil.
Woo!
Packing heat.
Okay, two more horses are sent. Two more horses are sent for the party. Are you guys riding with anybody else on the approximately, like, these guys marched, so you will be there in, like, a quarter of the time. You could catch up to this, what was it, 4 battalions that you dispatched, 400 men or so. You would be there in approximately 3 hours. Is there anything else you guys would take with you strategically?
What else can we grab? So Mem and Leah aren't coming.
You have tapped Leah's spell slots for the day. You got 10 healing potions. Mem delivered you those healing potions, and then he went back to the wizard and changed. You want to take Mem?
Yeah, we can invite him.
A super quick montage. The three of you persuade Mem. Everybody roll persuasion.
Can I roll a charisma check?
Yes. Anything you got on that list that you want to check off too for Team 100 Challenge?
Yeah. Oh man, that's a 17. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh shit, I'll roll a charisma check too, because I have to check that off.
That would be the last of my checks.
Yes. We're so close.
All right. So that's a 24 for me.
Oh shit.
I got an 8.
Okay. So tell me how you guys quickly, what angle do you guys use to persuade Mem to come along with you on your mission?
Think of all the sweet loot we're going to get, Mem.
Oh, magic items. Grumble, grumble, I'm not so sure about that. No market for that stuff anyways. Try again, boy. Ranger boy, sly ranger boy.
Hey, Mem, if the city gets attacked and there's nobody here to defend it, you'd much rather be with us down is than you would want to be here and watch your shop get burned to the ground.
Oh, not me. I'm out for the greater good. You sound like you only look out for number one. Whoa. Try again.
Mem, let's snuff this fire. Without you, this could get intense. More than you could handle. Let's put this out while we can.
Did I hear a challenge?
Yes.
Yeah.
I haven't snuffed a fire in a long, long time. Snuffing a candle is one thing. Snuffing a fire is another. What are we taking on, Tin Man?
We're not blowing out a candle. We're definitely, like, quelling a fire.
Let's see here. All right, I see you have an extra horse there. I'll ride with you on one condition.
What's that?
My stones.
What stones?
Leolentum. Are they in good condition? Show me those things. Artifacts, they are.
Hey, Steve, you got one of them, right?
I look over.
Nope, not anymore.
Who has it? Rook has one, and I thought you had one, and Rook had one.
Well,
okay, as you guys kick the ass of the sleeping Rook atop his black steed. Rook is on a black steed. Kaitoa is on like a shit-colored brown steed. You are on like a speckled Holstein steed, Steve. And you are on a nice golden flax steed, Beleg. You have given Mem, of course, Trope, the white one. And then Dorophil and Mickey are now sharing atop an impressive stallion here as you take off towards Iz. Oh, so the half-orc, this passed-out fucker, this guy that always looks like shit here, that I hear Leah just passed up in time for you to strap to a horse. Is that rope around him? Is he lashed to the horse?
What of it?
This is not an impressive cinematic experience, but we'll see how it goes. Look, so he's got the other stone. Somebody, don't lose him. There's
unlocked potential in there, guys.
I like these stones. I don't want to lose them.
Hey, listen to the wizard Mem. During the Goblin Wars, we had very powerful stones that could have changed the tide of the war if things had not gone how they did.
Hi, how about we focus on the task at hand, guys? Look up ahead. And sure enough, Mickey, ever watchful, is alerting you to the fact that as the sun is starting to set, you are reaching your encampment. You know, Steve, you've been tracking them all along. This is clear along the River Polba, eastwards towards Iz, and you can only be one ridge away from what sounds like, I mean, you guys can actually hear some screams along the wind. I mean, it sounds like, yes, they are encircled. What are you guys doing?
Anyone got anything long range?
So it's war that's happening right now?
Yeah, so what I would do is everybody will get a montage beat. Roll the skill that you best feel reflects what your character is going to do. And you see about 300 to 350 men as you guys peek over the ridge.
I'm using survival to get a good sniper shot, and I still have the longbow, the Knoll longbow that I took, so I am very, very long range right now.
Roll me a survival, Steve. I gotta get my little card out here.
Oh, shit. 22.
Oh, wow. Okay. Kaitoa, what would you roll?
I'm gonna do a perception.
Okay.
Just try and suss it out.
Beleg, what would you roll?
I am going to roll performance as I cast Major Image and cause an illusion of a a dragon that fits within a 20-foot by 20-foot cube that goes to attack the enemies and try and scare the shit out of them.
Oh, that's pretty impressive. Okay, so in this first round, Steve, on your survival, as you sort of draw your longbow and look along this ridge, yes, you know, as you gain perspective on this scene here, the men of Iz are encircled, or rather the army of Iz is encircled. Do you see roving bands of a dozen gnoll archers on horseback? And they are, you know, harassing and firing into, you know, and attacking and then retreating. You know, the contingent of men seems no match for this type of warfare in this surrounding. Steve, sort of in this preparatory round, Kaitoa, as you look on, you would see that the men, although they have not, what have they lost, an eighth of their number, they are not incompetent. They have put up kind of all four walls of defense, but their short bows and their crossbowmen are hopelessly outranged. Although you see that three quarters of these men, if they could be, you know, rallied, are ready and could do some damage. It's just right now they are under a hail of arrows. And Beleg, as you cast your 20-foot by 20-foot cube dragon, what is the nature of this dragon? What color? Where does it come from? Where does it go? How long does it last?
How long does it last is a good question. I'll look that up right now. It lasts a while.
Meow.
Kaitoa, what yep. would you have, let's see, Dorophil do? Steve, what would you have Mickey do? And then Beleg, what would you have Mem do?
I think, because Mickey's got, I don't know how far he can shoot that thing, but I think Steve and Mickey are conferring with each other. Steve can use his message ability to get like a good sort of position to confuse these guys, these gnolls, with our fire. So in the sense that we're going to fire intermittently. Longbow, germ gun.
Oh, look at you, Steve. You seem to have quite the proficiency with death at range. Hey, let's have a little competition. I can shoot this motherfucker about 90 feet. And check it out, I got salvos of 6.
And he is excited, Steve, to be sharing the, you know, the ridge position here with you. And you guys seem to have attracted a lot all of a sudden of these roving bands, and you and Mickey are making quick work of sort of about a quarter of some of these roving bands of gnolls.
Sweet. Yeah, I want to just not only kill them, but also, by the way that we've set up, create a fair bit of confusion as well. So they at least... I guess they at least lose their strategic edge to the bowmen down below. I want them to break their formation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Kaitoa, you now have seen and seized this sort of opportunity. There is now a break in the rhythm. You know, the men who are encircled and are probably about 200 to 300 feet, you know, away from you in this sort of bowl feature as you guys are up atop a ridge along the road and the river to Iz. You now see a huge break in the scene as Steve and Mickey draw off some of these folks as everyone else is captivated by what appears to be... Beleg, what do they see?
Oh, they see a massive dragon, black scales, but still like shiny and gleaming in the light, come from behind us and then go all the way in front of the like our army and start making passes at the gnoll archers. Really low, aggressive passes.
And you see all sorts of reactions. Some of the men begin to cower in fear. A lot of the gnolls begin to rout. Beleg, you see your dragon image have quite the impression on, you know, maybe a half of the gnolls here. And so at the moment, you know, there's only one or two angles and battle fronts along which the gnolls are still assailing. So Steve and Mickey, you guys have sort of done your thing. Kaitoa, what would you have Dorophil and you do in this moment?
Create like a bit of a shield or a buffer, and look at Dorophil and be like,
I'm pretty sure you can defend yourself.
Oh yeah, let's charge right in there to the melee fighters in the front.
And Dorophil indicates with his war pick, you know, yes, the two fronts on which the men of Iz are engaged with, you know, a fierce contingent, you know, what could be 50 or 60 gnolls that have cloven quite an arc of blood into this circle of soldiers.
Get your half-orc friend to ride with us. I bet he'll be good as a meat shield.
And yes, you, he would.
And you three go charging in. Of course, Mickey has hopped off. He's over with Steve. Okay, Kaitoa, you guys are now charging in, and the men are inspired. As they see you charging towards, they have seen a glimmer of hope. Although they don't quite understand it, you are clearly on their side and supporting them as you burst through the ranks. And could you roll, maybe give me one big strength roll?
17.
Nice. Okay, so you and Dorophil begin from atop your horseback to swing.
And sidecar. And sidecar.
Exactly.
Horse and sidecar.
In unison, you guys break the front ranks of this melee engagement. And Rook's horse, you know, Rook on the black steed behind you, you have lashed him to the horse, and he just runs kind of like willy-nilly through. But his horse is just trampling the bodies that you guys create.
Sweet.
Oh, shit. Dorophil's horse gets taken out. His horse crumples to the ground and rolls. Are just gnawing away.
Hey, watch this.
And he seems to make quick work, and as before you know it, he is up on Rook's horse, and he is now riding along with the unconscious Rook, swinging his war pick left and right.
Oh, it's not bad, he's not a bad guy.
I knew you guys would make it.
Kaitoa and Dorophil, you guys have cleared sort of now a final path through. And so, Beleg, it is now up to you and Mem standing still on the ridge. What would you have Mem do as now the front lines have been broken by Rook and Dorophil and Kaitoa? A lot of these longbow groups of gnolls have been routed by your dragon image, but there still remains, you know, two large contingents of about 20 or 30 fierce gnolls, and they seem to have been unchallenged during the battle.
And this is where I take my Mem turn?
Yes, what would you have Mem do?
I think that Mem and Beleg had a bit of a look of understanding. Mem wants to make a big impact in the fight because it's been so long since he's actually been in a big battle. And while I have the dragon image fly over this other, you know, 20% of gnolls, Mem casts a fireball at them in timing with my illusion and just obliterates them.
Just as you have your dragon swoop down, you look to Mem and give him that direction.
Well, fireball, suppose I can pull one of the old the old tricks out here. That's what you brought me here for. Mass damage. Splash damage. Here we go.
And you see an absolutely catastrophically large fireball in front of Mem. And, you know, as it begins to gain momentum and accelerate, the brightness is absolutely blinding, and this thing sort of blasts off at unbelievable speed and seems to absolutely decimate about 30 to 40 of those gnolls that were still assaulting. And the final group begins to flee and rout along the eastward road in the river towards Iz. The battle is won.
Ah! Oh, it wasn't bad to swing the war pick again, eh, Tin Can Man?
Yeah.
Well, that's not bad mounted combat against infantry.
Who got more kills, me or Grim?
Hey, I'll tell you what here, I've been keeping a little tally sheet here. I got 25, Steve.
Let's see how many Steve got.
You could roll like a D20 plus 10.
Okay. Go! Oh,
damn it.
24.
Hey, is that right? Hey, one short is not bad. You know what? One of them, I kind of did a little bit of kill stealing. So maybe it's even. I'll tell you what, as a consolation prize, I noticed you're quite a sly fellow. And I see you picked up a piece of heraldry there. That is not a common piece of armor there. And he's pointing, Steve, to your burglar's breastplate.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like a little something to go along with that? Check out this. This is what I used to have in my little days when I was a boy with lots of doors to pick. And he produces like a leather, it looks like a leather rolled sleeve tied up with a piece of the same leather. And as he opens it, it begins to jingle. Don't open it here on the battlefield, Steve. I like you, boy. It was fun killing gnolls, eh? Heartless little things. Heartless.
Steve is pretty happy. He wasn't very happy before, but Now he's pretty happy. Thanks, Kerb.
Thanks, Steve. And Steve, for the first time in a long time, somebody offers you a high five.
Yes! He gets himself a high five.
There is quite the cinematic connection of bro palm to bro palm.
Little baby gnome palm.
So, the night carries on. We should get these men back behind the walls of the city.
Did we defeat the army of Pulp? Or Iz? Is our work done?
So, I came back here.
There is a sergeant stumbling out from the wounded. He has a large purple welt on his head.
Sup, Sandrid?
Men! Your new captain.
And he is indicating the unconscious Rook on the black steed, with Dorophil, the legless dwarf, sitting astride. There is some murmuring from the soldiers.
We was just in the nick of time. There were lots of arrows in me back. Nouchy.
With now the men of Polb turned around, you are marching them back. It will take them, you know, approximately half a day as you guys escort them back.
After Gurm turns and other people kind of stop paying attention to Steve, he turns around and eyes a gnoll crawling away in the distance and plants one more arrow in the back of its skull. 25.
Ooh, nice with that longbow. So as you turn around, Steve, you would see, you know, in the distance as the sun begins to set. I mean, this battle here did wear on. So, Steve, you would now begin to see the sun setting.
I can't wait to tell Stolas this.
I can't wait to tell Leah.
You make it back to the city of Pol. And as the men disperse into the neighborhoods around the east side, around Care Grove, there are families and women and children and employers, all sorts of people coming out. I mean, you have brought back a lot of people who don't just wield a sword and shield for the city of Pol, but live here. And there is an evening celebration, impromptu and ad hoc, but against all odds, you have brought these men back. And the quartermaster of Pol, you guys sort of like prop up a little bit on his horse to make some semblance that he's not passed out. Yes.
put a stick down his back behind his
a little prop.
It's like yeah. Weekend at Bernie's.
Which just have little strings keeping his arms up.
Again, now the army and the soldiers, a lot of them have dispersed back to the quartermaster's barracks. You lost about, 50, 60 men before you got there. You managed to prevent essentially what could have been the total destruction of the army, but I think you lost about 100 men, perhaps another 75 to 100 injured. They're back at the quartermaster's barracks in what is you've heard is the only physical place where somebody might receive medical attention from anybody with some physical healing arts. Where would you guys now be going as all of the people and the city begins to die down for the night?
Belleg. I'm gonna ask Mem if I can come back to the wizard spear with him.
Well, chasing the muff around, eh? Well, I'll have you sign a waiver if you're not careful, half-elf.
That was pretty sweet what we did with that dragon.
I really did like dusting off that spell slot. You know what level that was?
Nope, you tell me.
Well, I keep my secrets. I'm not joking though. Stay away from Leah. That's not cool.
Mem,
I roll deception.
All right, you can roll deception. What would it be quickly, Belleg, to be like, no, like I'm a legit, upstanding dude. I have like good intentions.
Yeah, basically, okay. Exactly that.
Okay, that is a high DC.
I will burn an inspiration. Oh, that's pretty fucking good.
Oh, what'd you get?
15 plus 6, 21.
Oh shit.
No!
You cracked my threshold.
That's right.
Well, you're serious? Well, I'm not joking about the waiver. She is a bit of an exile like me. Sorcery, these innate healing arts, person of her lineage might be born with, and I'm, perhaps you could say, intrigued. You? I wonder, your lineage... A half-elf parent and a half-elf parent? Or, well, there's only one other real combination, isn't there? Carry on, though, Belleg half-elf. I won't stand in the way at this stage of your very respectable and formal courtship. Grumble, grumble.
Thanks, ma'am.
Be careful.
I pat him on the back.
As you give Mem, a nice pat on the shoulder there, are you're sort of dispatching him back Dorphil, Kaitoa, is there anything you would do here as you've re-entered the city and it seems refortified the city? You have no longer, you know, a city empty of protection.
I definitely make sure our like walls and gates are surrounded. I'm gonna do a once over.
Oh, I can see to that, Master Construct. Have the watchmen and the soldiers then make a perimeter check of the gates and walls and anything else?
Yeah, I'll check my homing beacon.
And throughout this entire time, your homing beacon, now the moment you started traveling east, your homing beacon changed to that red signal. It seemed as if this orange beeping had ended, but now as you travel back westwards, it turns green again.
No. Okay. Well, I take note of that. Yeah.
And you have, now that you're on the move again, you have found a signal.
Yeah.
Goodbye, Tin Can Man. I like your Warhammer skills. You can ride with me again anytime. Squeak, squeak, squeak.
Okay, and Steve, as you bid farewell there. Yeah, happy picking there, Steve. Nice throwing pointy objects into brains with you. 25, eh? I won. Was that a final tally?
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Well, double or nothing. 25,
24.
Double or nothing.
Till next time.
Till next time. There'll always be a next time. And he hops on, you know, the little platform on the back of Dorophil's barrow chair. And they seem to be heading back to the safe shack, guys, and departing. And you now have been left with those five steeds. You did lose one of these horses. But you guys now have five steeds. And, of course, the white chain, it does have, you know, the little horse bar at the side with, you know, stables and all that. So if you're heading back there, yeah, it's now you four. Weekend Poonchalets, the Living Construct, the Half-Elf, and the now somewhat roguish Ranger Boy.
So
I have reason to move on, but of course we can't leave the White Chain.
Well, not until Rook's awake.
Yeah.
He's a wonderful sleep warrior, though.
Is it coming to the... It is now nighttime? Is that...
Approximately 9 p.m. as you re-enter the city, 10 p.m. as you make your way through. Yeah, yeah, no, it's drawing nigh on 10:30. The cold evening has set on. The moons are up in the night sky, and that was a blistering 12 hours where the party rectified some major plot points. Rectified.
Are we going to long rest again? This is amazing.
So yes, Steve, yes, it is nighttime. Okay. And as you guys re-enter, what I assume to be your standard fare, go back to the old clubhouse here, you guys would untie Rook from the prop that has been propping him up on his horse, and you would drag and dump his recovering body into his sweaty cot. And Steve, unfortunately, you get a whole view of the crown jewels. I mean, like his nighty, his half-orc nighty just lifts right up as you guys dump him into the cot, and it is just frankenbeans. It's quite awful.
Just disturbing. A disturbing array of orc meat.
Orc meat.
So I guess what Steve is going to do this evening is kind of wait till everything settles down, and then he's going to exit out of the out of the top, the third floor window, and go find a wooded area. What is it? Go find a rock formation in the woods. Go see about an owl.
Okay, Steve. You remember when you sent your summoned familiar owl creature Stolas off to the orchards to check on, you know, whether this food shortage was legit?
Yeah.
Yeah. On your mind's eye, you sort of remember, yes, towards that area, there were deep woods where you might find such a formation. So you want to skulk out at night and do a little hooky?
Yeah.
Okay.
A little Steve Ninja action. Test the wheels on the new bonus stealth ability.
And would you be trying to avoid your party's eyes? Are you trying to give the impression that you've turned in for the night, but you've actually left?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's gonna be a low DC on Bellic. He's asleep already.
I think just in general, the little weird training room that we found is where I imagine Steve is going to have his little
commune.
Yeah, that's kind of where he goes to sleep when he does.
Yeah, the abandoned kind of training room, the danger room side is totally where Steve would be kind of sitting.
So he'll thinking. Yeah, he's already left out of a window to go through the other slightly barred up area.
Okay. And then, Bellic, you said you are turning in for the night?
Yeah.
As you do so, you feel a sort of, what would it be, an echoing whisper in your mind. Hey, psst, don't forget. And Kaitoa, as you're pretty much the the last one here, shutting down, shutting your door and making sure that all your exits are closed. Yeah, in anything that Kaitoa does as your homing stone now, as you've now sort of stayed put, it now sort of blinks intermittently amber.
I'm gonna try and view Steve best I can, because I think I have like a mile clear as day now.
Can you roll a perception? And Steve, can you roll that stealth? You have a party member who did try and remark your exit.
Does he have night vision, though?
Oh, no, I don't. So, yeah, I am fucked.
You still might have... The question is whether is Kaitoa thinking that Steve is still there, or did Kaitoa notice Steve leave?
I would say, I watch him leave and try and follow him. And yes, he's probably going to disappear right away.
Into the night. What'd you roll, Steve, for stealth?
That's a 17 plus a 9.
Shit. And what did you roll, Kaitoa, perception?
Oh, yeah, an 8.
Okay, you see a couple of impressions in Steve's little alcove here in his area of his adventurer's pack. Pretty sure Steve's there.
Okay.
Did I leave a little Ferris Bueller where it's just...
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
a little Steve-shaped dummy.
And then, Kaitoa, you would be sitting there alone as the oil lamp flickers in the third floor of the White Chain, and you think about how you need not heat or food, and you think of your friend, Krizblik, who also now does not want for heat or flame or food.
I just sit out the window, head in my hands, looking out, thinking about Krizblik.
And that, my friends, is where we will leave you tonight on this patchy session of Dungeons and Blaggards.
Oh,
nice tearjerker at the end there.
Chris Black. Chris Black.
We need the green magic.
Oh yes, Belleg. Everything is on the horizon for you, party. Everything is on the horizon.
You.
You.
All right.
Adios.
Night, Caleb. Night, Noah.
John.
What are you drinking tonight, gentlemen? You're gonna like this one. Amber Ale from our good friends at Stanley Park.
I'm rocking our low ABV session ale.
Are you crushing some Fogel?
Yeah, I got a keg of it at home.
Oh, dirty fuck.
You cunt.
I plan ahead.
I am drinking the Four Winds. What's it, the last La Maison?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's just fucking good.
Yeah, buddy. I'm rocking Patrick.
Oh, that's what Rook was drinking in the bottom floor there.
Yes.
Toga. Yeah, does the White Jeans have Fat Tug on tap?
Yeah. Well, that is canon. Your Rook appears to have seen the emblazoning on the cask from Chintadu. It's one word, and it's F-A-T-U with an umlaut and G.
Fatug.
So he has requisitioned Shorva to reorder that Chintadu Fatug.
Ah, fuck yeah.